I want to say a special thank you to my comrade, Jovan. Didn't he encourage our hearts in Jesus Christ? I sat at home and watched it on the TV, and it's not nearly as good as being here. I have found in my life that memorizing Scripture helps me. I know many of you say, I can't memorize. I'm not good at that. I'm going to make it easy for you. I have a bookmarker for everybody, and it's the passage that I'm going to speak about this morning. And I want us to memorize this together. Now, I'm going to tell you how you can memorize this, and it won't be hard at all. When you get up in the morning, read this 7 times out loud. At your lunch break, read it 7 times out loud. And after supper, read it 7 times out loud. If you'll do that for about a week, I guarantee you, you'll memorize this. And you won't be straining, you won't be groaning, it won't be that hard. Your brain will cooperate with you. So if you get one of these bookmarkers, did anybody get one yet? Are they, all right, on your way out, if you get one of these bookmarkers and you'll just read this 7 times in the morning, 7 times at lunch, 7 times in the evening, you'll memorize this verse. Okay, and I'm going to give you a quiz. We're going to have, in about a couple of weeks, we're going to stand up here and I'm going to say, let's say our Bible verse together. And I'll have a little checklist here to see who is. All right, let's do this together and see if God won't bless our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, you made it very, very plain that you are a God of love and that you love steadfastly. You made it very plain that you want to be our friends and you want to do for us what only a divine friend can do. And so I pray that we would have open hearts and new vision for what it means to live in the love and the friendship of Christ. In Christ's name, amen. I hope everyone here has had the joy of a good friendship. Here's what I know. No one can hurt you like a friend, and no one can bless you like a friend. So it's a double risk. I know everyone here has a memory of someone you thought was your friend, and it turned out that they had ugly thoughts about you, and they said hurtful things. It's happened to everyone. If it hasn't happened to you, you must be an awesome person, because it happens to all of us. But I also hope that everybody in this room, when I say the word friend, can think of someone. Someone whose company you really enjoyed. Someone whose advice you respected. Someone you trusted. In fact, friendship is a kind of love. Friendship is a kind of love. I also have to ask myself, what kind of friend have I been? And when I'm perfectly honest, here's what I have to admit. I haven't always been the best friend in the world. It's not that I said mean things behind people's back. It's that I just got busy. And I should have made the call and didn't make the call. I should have carved out a little time, but I just got busy and didn't carve out the time. And because I wasn't paying attention, a friendship slipped out of my life. Do you share this experience with me? Well, what if it turns out that the Christ that we worship has an overwhelming friendship love for us? What if in the heart of Christ, he looks at you with this deep friendship love and says, I like being friends with that soul. Can you see yourself there? Can you imagine Christ looking at your soul and saying, I value my friendship with you? The Apostle Paul could imagine that. He tells us in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 37, No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. His friendship is expressed not just as an idea, but as a conquering power in my life. Because Christ is my friend, I can overcome things I otherwise couldn't have overcome. Would it be fair to say, how do I know Christ loves me? Is that a fair question? I think it is. I think it's an absolute fair question to say, yes, I know Christ is loving, but how do I know he loves me? There are a lot of loving people in the world who don't love me. How do I know Christ loves me? I want to say Christ has proven his love in the sacrifices he's made for us. I know Christ loves me because of the sacrifices he's made. Let's consider some of the sacrifices. Christ lived in absolute majesty in heaven. He lived in wonder and splendor and dignity and respect. And he said, I love you so much. I'm going to give up this wonderful place I live, and I'm going to spend time with you. There is no friendship where you don't spend some time with each other. And Christ said, I'm going to extend my friendship, and I'm leaving the place I am most comfortable, and I'm going to come and spend time with you. I know that Christ loves me. Because he loved me with a self-sacrificing love, instead of living in the blessedness of God, he came to live under the curse. Do you know people aren't broken in heaven? Everybody there is beautiful. And he gave up that to live with broken people. He left a world of love and appreciation and compassion and came to live in an ugly world of hate. They hated him without a cause. The actual Greek word is their gift to him was hatred. He left a world of peace to live in a world of strife. He left a world of integrity to live in a world of hypocrisy. It's his way of saying, I love you. It's his way of saying, I will show my love by the sacrifices I make to be around you. He showed his love by laying aside his lordship and becoming a servant. When you read the Gospels, here's what you read. Everywhere Jesus went, he served somebody. Everywhere he went. There were 10 lepers. He served them. There was a lady bent over with scoliosis. He served her. There was a man who was retaining water and his life was miserable, and Christ served him. There were hungry people. He fed them. There were confused people. He taught them. Everywhere he went, he served. Christ said, I'll prove my love for you because I will serve everyone. He proved his love for us by how he acted when he was betrayed. It's hard to respond well to betrayal, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to respond well to betrayal. I don't like it. I don't like the way it makes me feel. I don't like the thoughts that come into my head. Betrayal is not easy to handle. But I see Jesus Christ saying, I love you so much that even when you betray me, I will never leave you or forsake you. When you walk away from me, I'll never walk away from you. When you don't have a good thought in your head about me, I will maintain my love and friendship for you. I'll always be there. I see his love in his refusal to defend himself. Just like you, I've had people say things about me that aren't true. And my first impulse is to defend myself. How about you? Don't you want to say, that's not really true? That's not what I did. That isn't what I said at all. My first impulse is to defend myself. Could I remind you, when Christ was attacked, when he was reviled, he did not revile again. When he was insulted, he did not insult. When he was cursed, he blessed. And when necessity required, and all they paid people to bring false witness against him, he had the strength of love for us that he simply said nothing. And Pilate was amazed by his silence. He sacrificed his dignity. It's one thing to be insulted on an email. It's another thing to be insulted publicly. Church, in front of everybody, they insulted him. How demeaning it is to be punched in the face. Brothers, is that demeaning to your manhood for somebody to punch you in the face in public? Insulting to my manhood. They punched him in the face. They spit on him. And they publicly whipped him. And why did he endure such abuse? Only one reason. Only one reason. The power of his love and friendship said, you're my friends. And if this is what friendship cost, I'll pay it. Church. And finally, he sacrificed himself for everything ugly about his friends. Everything ugly about you, Christ said, I'll take that and pay for it. Everything broken about you, Christ said, I'll take that and pay for it. Peter reminds us that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Church, you'll never find a friend who will make those kind of sacrifices for you. Jesus Christ is the friend of friends. You'll never be loved the way Christ loves you. You'll never be cherished the way Christ cherishes you. And his self-sacrificing love makes us more than competent to win in life. If it isn't enough that he proves his love for me in his sacrifices, he proves his love for me in his intercession. Intercession is kind of a tricky word. To intercede. You know the word to proceed, it means to go forward, right? You know concede, it means to, you were arguing and you decided not to defend your position and you conceded to the argument of another. This word comes from the Latin and it literally means to go. To proceed means to go before. To concede means to go along with. To intercede means to go in between. There is a problem, and Christ goes between us and the problem to help us solve it. If you read John 17, Jesus Christ is right down to the end of his life, and he says this prayer to God, and he makes intercession for us. But then he ascended into heaven. And how do you know that he has your best interest now? Isaiah predicted in Isaiah 53, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he's poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with transgressors." Listen. "Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for transgressors." Let me tell you how I know Christ loves me. Because I'm not a perfect man. And when I transgress, I don't have to... I don't have to plead with God alone. Christ intercedes for me. Think of the worst thing you know about yourself, the thing you wish you didn't know about yourself. The love and friendship of Christ meet you in that unpleasantness. And he says, "I'll put in a good word for you. You're my friend and I love you. And I'm going to speak up for you and give you forgiveness on this." Church, I know he loves me because when I'm at my worst, he intercedes. He says, "Father, forgive the dude. He just is too stupid to know what he's doing." And I don't know about you, but I appreciate that. Hebrews 7:25. "Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him," listen, "since he always lives to make intercession for them." What is Christ doing in heaven today? He's interceding for his friends. He's looking out for your best interest. He's going between you and your broken self and the absolute righteousness of God. And he's saying, "Forgive them for my sake." If you can't forgive them for their sake, forgive them for my sake. They're my friends. I love them. Church, that's the Christ of this church. That's who we love. That's who we believe in. That's who we follow. The love of Christ is also exhibited in my life victories. This word that it more than conquerors, I might properly translate it super winners. Christ makes us super winners in life as an expression of his love and friendship. Christ said, "I don't win alone. I bring my friends along with me. I'll make you more than a winner. if you'll just let me show you my friendship love. Church, that's our Christ. That's who we follow. And then Paul gets, he's so full of his awe of God that he breaks out into this and he says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, or powers or height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you hear that? It is an inseparable friendship. It is an unbreakable love. The trials of life and the mystery of death can't separate us from our friend, the loving Lord Jesus Christ. The angels of heaven and the rulers on earth can't separate us from the friendship and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. The highest abilities that anybody has and the lowest capacities that we're capable of, neither of these can separate us from the friendship of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. Look anywhere in all of creation. Look high and low. Look in heaven, look on earth, and look in hell. Nothing can separate us from the friendship of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ's love for you is personal. It's not vague. It's not a group. It's not a category. It's personal. Christ loves you personally the way I am describing. He expresses the love of an infinite God. How can God love each of us personally? He's infinite. It is an infinite love. It is an infinite friendship. And when I think about Christ this way, I want to be a better friend to him. Brothers and sisters, I just want to be a better friend of Jesus Christ. I'm tired of not being a good friend. Can I have one amen? I'm tired of the times he counted on me and I disappointed him. I'm tired of the times he had to go the extra mile because I wouldn't go my mile. I'm tired of the times he said, "Friend, I looked everywhere for you. I thought you would be there." I want to be a better friend to Christ. As a church, many years ago, we said we think as a group of people, we can be a good friend of Christ by doing some very direct things. I want to live in the love of Christ this year so I can attract God's lost kids back to the excellence of Christ and his inseparable love. See, I think Christ is awesome. And he still has some lost kids out there. And he loves them dearly. And he says, "Friends, let's bring them home together. Let's do this together." You know, it's easy to fall into an apathy about God's lost kids. It is easy. But I'm asking you to feel the heart of Christ. There are people that you know. There are people you're going to run into this year. They're God's lost kids. He loves them with the same love he loves you. And he says, "Will you partner with me and help bring them home?" Church, could we be a better friend of Christ this year by simply looking around us? The people we work with, our neighbors, our friends, the people we socialize with, the people we come into contact with incidentally. And could we say, in our heart of hearts, I am a friend of Christ. And if Christ wants to bring this person home, I want to partner with him. Church? Would it be too much to ask for us to commit ourselves this year to invite just one new person back to church in Christ? Could you do that? You got 52 weeks to try it. You got 52 shots at it. I'll take my odds. If I get 52 times to shoot, I can make the basketball one time. Not a basketball player, but I'm pretty sure you let me try 52 times, I'll get one in. Church? But we have to see ourselves as friends of Christ, and we have to want to. If you don't want to, you'll never see the moment. You won't recognize the whisper of the Holy Spirit. You'll be taking the friendship for granted, and moments, holy moments created by your friend Jesus Christ to partner with you to do the good work of bringing one of his lost kids home. I want to do that. I want to do that because I want to be a better friend of Jesus Christ. I can live in the love of Christ this year by letting the Holy Spirit call me to serve. Christ showed his love for me by the service he rendered. Can we agree with that? He showed his love by the service he rendered. In fact, how can you have a friend and not want anywhere in your life to do anything nice for him? It's not friendship if somewhere in your heart you don't want to do something nice. If only our hearts could feel this overwhelming friendship of Jesus Christ. And say, this year, I'm rearranging my life, and I'm going to have time and space to show my friendship for you by serving. I'm going to serve. I'm going to find a place, and I'm going to serve you this year. And not only am I going to serve you, I'm going to invite my friends to serve you right along with me. Church? I shared with a friend of mine the mission house. And he said, you know, we've just done some remodeling, and we have some stuff that might fit nicely in there. Now, most of the times when I hear that, I hear, we got some secondhand junk we'd like to get rid of. Would you pick it up? Okay. But my friend's house isn't that way. This guy doesn't have any junk in his house. And he gave the mission house this beautiful, one-of-a-kind, freestanding sink to go in the half bath. I picked it up yesterday. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I mean, it's the kind of thing you think, I'll just pay for something else and take this home with me. I'm not doing it. I promise you it will be in the mission house. I believe in my heart. My friend is a generous man, but he did that out of friendship. I believe that. I believe because we have a good friendship, and I shared it with him. He was motivated by friendship. It's very interesting what we'll do for our friends, isn't it? Oh, this church has been so generous. We've got 28 tabs left out on the giving tree, and all of that is stuff that needs to go into this mission house. There's 28 of us. We can get those tabs today, can't we? So that there's towels and blankets and I want to live in the love of Christ this year, and I want to say yes to the adventure of faith. Could I remind you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you understand that? Doesn't matter what you do this year, if you don't do it out of a sense of faith and love for Jesus Christ, doesn't count. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm asking you to think, what am I going to do this year that I wouldn't have tried if I didn't have faith in the quality of Christ's friendship and love? What am I going to try that I wouldn't have tried? How am I going to break out of the routine and the boredom and the day-to-day existence to do something that requires more than I'm capable of because I have faith in my friend, Jesus Christ? Finally, we believe in a lifestyle of generosity. I believe friends are generous with each other. I believe if you're not generous with your friend, the friendship won't last. Right? The friend is your friend, not just when things are good, but when things are hard. I went to my friend's, I did my friend's dad's funeral a couple of weeks ago. Just broke my heart to be there with him. Just broke my heart to be there with him. He hurt. And I'm his friend. And I was there. I wanted to be there. I wanted to share whatever encouragement I could. Because friends are generous with each other. Right? I want to show my friendship to Christ by being generous. I want to say, Christ, your love makes me more than a winner, and I want to be generous in my life. I want to be generous with my time. I want you to get the time you deserve in my life. I want to be generous with my praise, and I want to praise you the way you deserve to be praised. I want to be generous with my resources, and I want to fund good in the world. I want to be on your team in funding good in the world. I want to be generous with my life. I want to be generous with my love for my family. I want to be generous with my encouragement to my friends. I want to live a lifestyle of generosity out of pure friendship with you. Church, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying you could make this the best year of your life. We could make this the best year our church has ever had. Our church has had some phenomenal years. I mean, we have had some phenomenal years. We could make this the best year in our history. But we can't do it without changing our thinking. And the change in our thinking has to be this. What does Christ's friendship for me really look like? Am I impressed with that? Am I really impressed by the love of Christ for me? Does it change me in some way? And if I'm really impressed with the love of Christ for me, doesn't something stir up in me that I want to be a better friend to him? And if you and I live out our friendship for Jesus Christ this year, we will accomplish more than what we could ever imagine. And we will enjoy doing it because friendship is fun. Our dear Heavenly Father, when I was a boy, I learned to sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer." But after a lifetime of living, I know what a friend you are. I have felt the effects of your friendship. I've overcome what I could have never overcome by myself. I've seen things I would never see by myself. I've been empowered in ways I could never empower myself. I recognize that you have made me more than victorious through the loving friendship of Jesus Christ. And now I pray for myself, and I pray for this church. I pray that the love of Christ would compel us. I pray that it would not be a vague idea. I pray that it wouldn't be a mysterious feeling. I pray it would be a stirring of new love, stirring of new friendship, stirring of new passion to live in the love of Christ and be your friend day by day this year. And I ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord.